Welcome to the teaching ministry of Pastor Jay Eberle. Get ready to be empowered through the understanding of God's Word.
I want to go to 2 Kings chapter 6. I want to start there. And also, we want to go to 2 Corinthians chapter number 4 so that we can go as quickly as possible between those scriptures. Go ahead and find both of them if you would. And we're going to pick up, in some respects, we're going to pick up on what we were sharing Sunday, but it's not going to start out there. We're going to start out more talking about the fact that we walk by faith, and that faith means that we have to walk by the unseen realm. I want to share that with you tonight because this has been such a factor in me. It's helped me tremendously to grow in walking with God, to get past just what I see and feel. And, you know, this is something that the just live by faith.
Amen.
We live by faith, which means the Bible says we walk by faith and not by sight. So that means we walk by what we cannot see is what really the walking by faith really is. And so in order to help you do that the most effective as you can, I want to start teaching you about the unseen realm. That's the realm that we walk by. That's the realm that we live by. That's the realm of our resources, you might say. I'm not just talking finances, you understand. Everything you need, wisdom, direction, what to do in this decision you're in. You know, all sorts of things come out of that realm. And we want to learn about that. We want to learn to tap into it. We want to learn to live out of the resources of the unseen realm. Amen. So I want to look here in 2 Kings and start with the 6th chapter and the 15th verse. I'll give you the setting. You remember there was a king in the Old Testament that was attacking the nation of Israel, and the prophet Elisha kept telling the king, his own king, I should say, what plans the enemy was making in their military maneuvers to attack their own nation, to attack the nation of Israel, which Elisha was part of. And Elisha, the prophet, he would see and he would know what the king was doing, the enemy king was planning, I should say. And then the attack, when it came, the Israelite army could be prepared for it and ambush the attack.
Right.
Well, the enemy king got tired of that and started looking for the traitor in his camp. But actually, then they said, no, there's no traitor here. There's a prophet over in Israel, and he knows the secrets you're telling and the military plans you're telling in your bedchamber. And so they changed their strategy. And they decided instead of going after the whole nation of Israel, they're going to go after one man.
Yes.
Now, how many of you know you're powerful in God whenever the enemy starts going after just you rather than the whole city?
Yes.
Because you're the real hindrance to his maneuvers.
Right.
Praise the Lord. I like that thought, don't you?
Amen.
I like to be on the devil's radar. How many of you know some Christians aren't on the devil's radar?
That's right.
You know, the radar goes past and there's no blip. There's no noise. But how many of you know some Christians, when the radar goes past, it goes bleep, you know, the sirens go off and alarms go off in hell. You know, it's like, there he is. He's busy again. But so they went after just Elisha, and at nighttime they surrounded the city. And the Bible says here in the 15th chapter, I like this verse, 2 Kings 6 verse 15, when the servant of the man of God, or Elisha, was arisen early and gone forth, behold, a host compassed the city, both with horses and chariots. And his servant said unto him, alas, my master, how shall we do? Now, the King James sounds real, it flows real poetically. But basically what happened here, he spazzed out.
Yeah.
I mean, he went, ah, you know, he's... How many of you know you don't freak out and you go, alas, pastor, what shall we do? He's freaking out. He's tripping out, or however you want to say it. And he said in verse 16, the prophet Elisha answered, fear not, for they that be with us are more that be with them. Are more than they that be with them. And so the servant didn't quite understand what he was talking about. Verse 17, Elisha prayed and said, Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see. Now, how many of you know he already had his eyes open? He was seeing the enemy, so you know he had eyes open. So what does this mean, open his eyes? He's talking about the spiritual eyes of his heart. And he wanted this man's spiritual eyes to open. And he said that he may see, and the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountains were full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. Yeah. Amen. Hallelujah.
Praise God.
That's powerful. I like
yes.
the thought.
Amen.
I mean, that's angelic hosts all around protecting the man of God,
Amen.
Protecting the city
yes.
and so
yes.
forth.
Yes.
And so there was a realm that Elisha was able to tap into, another realm, we call it the spirit realm,
right.
that Elisha was able to receive the help of that realm and apply that help to this realm.
Amen.
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 And if you read the rest of the story, we don't take time tonight to read it, but you'll find if you read the rest of the story, the angels protected them to the point that the enemy was blinded, not a real disease, but it was some sort of spiritual manifestation where they couldn't see. God don't have any sickness, but you understand. There's like a blindness came over their eyes where he limited their sight. And so Elisha went out and said, "Who are you looking for?" They said, "Elisha." They said, "Well, he's over here." And so Elisha led the whole army right into the middle of the city. Now they're blinded, you know. And then he said, "Open their eyes, Lord." And the Lord opened their eyes, and they're right in the middle of the city with all Israel's armies around them. They're whooped. I like that, don't you? And so, you know, Elisha said, "Well, you know, what do you want to say?" Basically, they said, "Well, we give up. And so they let him go because that's what the Lord told him to do. But the point I'm trying to make is there is help from another realm. If you can't get what you need from this realm, there's more than just this realm for you to tap into in life.
Amen.
Praise God. Now go over to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, and just in the interest of keeping this moving without spending a lot of time just on one verse. 2 Corinthians 4 verse 18 says, "While we look not at the things which are seen." Well, you can see from this verse then that this seen realm is not where we're to be focusing on. He said, "We look not at that which is seen, at the things which are seen." But you could add, "We look at the things which are not seen." Now, how are we to live? Where to live, down in the next chapter, you're there in the fourth chapter. You go into the fifth chapter and look at the seventh verse. He said, "For we walk by faith, not by sight."
Yes.
Notice that. We walk by faith, but not by sight. Now, from verse 18 of chapter 4, what he's talking about is we don't walk by the natural things we see.
Right.
But we do walk, according to what he said in verse 18, we walk by what we see that's in another realm.
Yes.
Can you see that?
Yes.
We look not at the things which are seen, but we do look at something.
Yes.
You know, we look at things which are not seen.
Amen.
How do you look at things which are not seen? Well, the only way you're going to be able to do that is you're going to have to see beyond this natural realm.
That's right. Amen.
Now, when I say that, I'm not saying you have to have an experience like Elisha's servant had to where your eyes are. Where actually, Elisha's servant had what we call in the Bible a manifestation of what's called discerning of spirits. If you've been coming to Bible school, you've been hearing us teach about that. We had the last class of Bible school this past Monday. We got to the place where we got through all the gifts of the Spirit. One of them was discerning of spirits. Remember 1 Corinthians where Paul talked about the one is given by the Spirit, the word of wisdom, then different. But he called it, one of them is discerning of spirits. That's seeing into the realm of the Spirit.
Yes.
Well, Elisha's servant had a manifestation where he could see into the realm of the Spirit. But how many of you know that realm is there whether you have a manifestation of the Spirit or not?
Yes.
And you can tap into its resources.
Yes.
You can tap into what's available to you there whether you can see it or not.
Amen.
Somebody said, "Well, what if I don't know it's there?" Well, let me tell you about a book that tells you about that realm. It's called the Bible.
Amen.
And in this Bible, the Bible tells you everything you need to know about that realm, and it tells you how to tap into that realm.
Amen.
Now here he said, we look at the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporal, things which are not seen are eternal. So what we see here then, and this is something I don't think we preach enough about, and that Christians don't understand this enough, is that there are two realms. Two realms. There's a natural realm, but there's also a realm of things not seen. And there are things in that realm just as much as there are things in this realm. Because notice he didn't say, look at verse 18 here, while we look, this is what he didn't say, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the nothingness that is not seen. Come on now. He didn't say that realm is nothing. He didn't say there's nothing in that realm at all, no substance, no things, nothing available to you in that realm. He said there are things of that realm just as much as there are things of this realm. Now, they're not natural materialities, but they are spiritual materialities, including spiritual beings. Now, Jesus said in John chapter 4, verse 30, verse 31, 32, down and through there, I believe it is. Jesus said, remember the woman at the well? Jesus said to her, the day's coming when true worshipers worship in spirit and in truth. And then he said, the Father seeks such to worship him. And he said, God is a spirit. Well, that tells you then that's the reason that people haven't seen God is because he's in another realm. Unless a person has a manifestation of discerning of spirit. But just because a person doesn't have manifestation of discerning of spirits doesn't mean he's not there. Just because the whole world says he doesn't exist because look at all the wars and the babies dying and the diseases. Just because they say he's not there because they can't see him because they're limited to the seen realm because they're not born again yet because they don't have access to that realm except in the demon powers. Just because they can't see it doesn't mean it's not there. It is real. Actually, it was here long before this natural world was here. Well, when you die, you're going to slip out of this natural body and you're going to slip into the spirit realm, which you already are a part of right now. You're a spirit being right now, but you're going to actually slip out of this veil called the flesh, if you read the Bible, which keeps you from being able to see into that realm with your physical eyes, unless you have a manifestation of discerning of spirits. But you're going to slip out of that, and all of a sudden, the thing you're the most conscious of at that moment will be things that are not seen, not things that are seen. You know your relatives that have already gone to heaven, they're not aware so much when you got a new dress or a new car or something natural like that. They're not seeing as much of natural things as much as they're seeing spiritual things.
Amen.
They're watching you run your race spiritually more than they're watching you. Oh, they got a new haircut. That's cute on them. They're not in that realm anymore. Now, we live in this realm, so there's a measure of interest we have in this realm. How many of you know we ought to keep our hair nice and stuff?
Yes,
I mean, anybody want to vote for that? Hold up your hand. Okay, it passed. Let's all do it. So, but you know what I'm talking about. Really, as you grow spiritually, you're more interested in the things of the realm of God and the things of that realm of the spirit, the unseen realm, than you are of this natural realm. That becomes much more dominant in your thinking, and you're much more aware of the things of God and what God's talking to your heart about than all the natural things. Amen. Can you say amen to that?
Yeah.
So the thing I want you to see is, according to these verses, we don't look at the things which are seen, but we look at the things which are not seen. Then we have to look with a different set of eyes than what these natural eyes can see. And what I want you to understand is that you have, sometimes people say, well, there goes four eyes because they have glasses. But actually, and no, everybody on this planet has four eyes.
Yeah. Amen.
Because the Bible talks about these physical eyes. You know, Thomas had trouble because he looked with what he saw. He said, unless I see, I won't believe. Remember? That's physical eyes. We have physical eyes. But the Bible says something interesting in Ephesians chapter number 1 and verse number 16, 17 down through there. It says he wants the eyes of your understanding to be enlightened. And most translations say heart. So you've got two eyes down on the inside of here. This man on the inside, the Bible says here, verse number 16, notice here in 2 Corinthians 4, verse 16, which cause we faint not, but though the outward man, say outward man, perisheth, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. Now notice he didn't say the outward man perishes, though that means he's growing older, if you read other translations. But he didn't say the outward man's growing older, but the inward nothingness is renewed day by day. That inward part of your being, which is your spirit, is the main part of that inward man. That is a man just as much as this is a man or human. You know what I mean. Can you see what I'm talking about? And being that that man is a man, then he has eyes just like this outward man has eyes. How many of you know whenever you go to heaven, we're not going to have to, you and I, when we get to heaven, we're not going to have to look at each other and say, now, who are you again? Because that inward man, we're going to know that inward man. Because, you know, somebody said, are we going to know each other in heaven? Well, we know each other down here, don't we?
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's who's going to be there.
Yeah.
I mean, it's going to be Matt. It's not going to be nothing, you know, that, you know, it's going to be Matt. Probably a new name. Bible says we have a new name, but it's Matt nevertheless.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. So notice he said the outward man, there's an outward man and there's an inward man. And Ephesians 1 tells us that that inward man has eyes.
Yeah.
Well, now you have to recognize then that there's a different kind of seeing than the outward man sees.
Yes.
The inward man says he wants the eyes of our heart to be enlightened. Notice that, enlightened. In other words, this is called revelation knowledge.
Yeah.
This is called something that is seen with the eyes of the man of the Spirit, which whenever a person sees something in the inward man, that's called light. That's called revelation knowledge. You follow what I'm saying? Now, when Adam sinned, remember Genesis 3:7. I'm having a fun time here tonight. I'm going to get this out. But when Adam sinned, in Genesis 3:7, the Bible says that he and Eve, they knew that they were naked and they hid themselves. They knew that they were naked. Now, think about that. That's something that, that's a new kind of knowledge for them. All of a sudden, they start knowing something they didn't know before. There's a couple of things going on here, but the thing I want you to see is the Bible says that they knew something that they didn't know before, and that is a new kind of knowledge for them, which in this case is sense knowledge. This is things that's coming out of the sense realm that they didn't used to be that aware of, although they lived in it, but they were more aware of spiritual things prior to sin.
Right.
Well, what I want you to see is whenever you got born again, that was reversed again. Now, according to Colossians chapter number, go over to Colossians chapter number 3. I want you to see something that the Bible says about this new man, because all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And that condition causes man to be dominated by what he sees in this natural realm. And that sense knowledge that he gets out of the natural realm, it overcomes the inward man and puts out the light on the inside.
That's good.
The light on the inside goes out. And now the knowledge of the things of the spirit realm, i.e., now I'm mainly talking about God's realm. There's two, there's Satan's and God's part of that realm. I'm not that interested in the devil. If he shows up, we flick him off. You know, I'm talking about that. That's a term today we shouldn't use. But you know what I mean? Flick.
Yeah.
I heard that term one time means vulgar. I didn't mean that. Oh, okay, anyway. I just want to make sure nobody took that wrong. When your mind's renewed, sometimes you say things that other people, they go, you know, and then you're like, oh, okay, I'm sorry, I forgot that's a vulgar term. But anyway, moving right along. But, you know, the God's realm is the realm we're interested in.
Yes.
And so that realm is something that whenever you can see into that realm, it's only seen by the eyes of your spirit man, even if it's discerning of spirits. Even if it's a manifestation of the Spirit. That's the only way you can see it. It's because God takes the eyes of this man and kind of suspends these eyes for a while.
Amen.
Although you're looking through these eyes and you're seeing. You know what I'm talking about?
Yes.
And so Adam fell from seeing the realm of God, and he only saw the natural realm, and he was more aware of the natural realm, i.e. his body didn't have clothes on. But the thing that the new birth did was it reversed that again. Now here in Colossians 3, it says this about this new man, starting in verse 10, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him.
Amen.
The Greek says this knowledge that he has is new again. In other words, like it was before Adam fell, that's where we're to be living now.
Amen.
We're to be living in a new knowledge.
Yes, new knowledge.
The knowledge that comes into our spirit man. Now, let me say something about the inside of you. There's a lot of things your inward man knows that your outward man doesn't know.
Yes.
A whole lot of things you know in your heart.
Yes.
You ever had something happen and you said, somehow I knew that was going to happen.
Amen.
Well, see, that came out of the inside.
Yes.
That's the realm God wants to dominate. You want that man to dominate you because he knows a whole lot more than this man right here. A whole lot more. And with this man here, the spirit man on the inside is in contact and indwelt by the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
And the Holy Spirit will pass everything on to you that he can pass on to you if you and I will listen to it.
Amen.
And he'll help us in the affairs of life. It shouldn't be that the devil pulls a fast one on you or I. As we grow spiritually, he's not able to do that near as much.
Amen.
He's not able to, because we're already aware of his schemes and his devices right on the inside. Amen. So we're going to learn about this realm. We're going to talk about it. And I want you to see this. This is something, a statement the Lord made to me. The Lord said, faith taps into the unseen realm and makes use of its reserves or resources to the enhancement of life in this seen realm. Did you get that? Faith taps into the unseen realm and makes use of its reserves or resources to the enhancement of life in this seen realm. Because, and I can tell what we need to do here before we go any further is talk about what's available in that realm. But let me say this statement again. Faith taps into the unseen realm and makes use of the resources of that realm to the enhancement of life in this seen realm. Now listen to what the Bible calls it. It calls it days of heaven on earth in Deuteronomy 11:21. Did you get that?
Yes.
No, you didn't get it. Days of the realm of the Spirit.
Yes.
In this natural realm. Days of what is in that realm of the Spirit. See, where is heaven? Heaven is that realm we're talking about. Days of heaven on earth. Not wait till you get to heaven to have the heavenly blessings. We're already blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places right now. Ephesians 1:3 said we're already blessed. He has already blessed us with the spiritual blessings in heavenly places. One translation says that heaven itself enjoys.
Amen.
Well, is heaven sick?
Nope.
No.
Huh? Is heaven worried?
No.
Full of fear?
No.
Unbelief attacks?
No.
Demon attacks?
No.
Marriage problems?
No.
Poverty?
No.
No. So, live that way down here.
Amen.
It's called in Deuteronomy 11:21, days of heaven on earth. In other words, days on earth that are completely dominated by the spirit realm of God and all his power, all the anointings in that realm, all the angels of that realm, all the things that are in that realm.
Yes.
Hallelujah. All the help that's in that realm.
Yes.
You still there? You gone home? So we're tapping into the resources of a realm and a plane that is beyond what is seen. There are spiritual commodities there. There are spiritual weapons there. The Bible says the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, doesn't it? What does that mean? There are weapons in that realm that if you get into that realm of the Spirit, you can pick up a weapon that is not seen. It's not a tank. It's not a gun. It's not a missile. It's not a. It's not. It's nothing in the natural. It is a spiritual weapon.
Yes. Yes.
Amen.
And all those weapons in Ephesians 6 are all spiritual weapons. Yes. The armor of God.
Yes.
That's not something you came in that I could see with my physical eye tonight. But if you are walking in the light of who you are, you're walking in the breastplate of righteousness.
Yes.
You got the helmet of salvation on your head.
Yes.
What is that? That's the mind protected from Satan's bombardment of thoughts.
Yes.
That's a renewed mind.
Yes.
I'm about ready to preach.
Yes.
There's available tools in that realm to do certain jobs. There's anointings for example, if you're called to be a businessman, there's anointings from that realm to get wealth, the Bible says. Oh, that's really all of ours, not just businessmen. But how many of you know what I'm talking about? So there's things and commodities and angels and anointings and equipment, all sorts of gifts of the Spirit. Those all come out of this other realm that we're talking about. We aren't tapping into that realm enough. Life will be different when we tap into that realm like it's available to be tapped into. And here's the reason life gets boring for so many Christians and their prayer life is so dry is because they never go over into that realm when they pray. They just stay in this mental seen realm. I don't know why, I just don't experience God because he's not in this realm unless you bring him in by your faith. But faith has to be aware of that realm and bring that realm into this realm. Amen. Are you still there? So you should be interested in learning to become more conscious of that realm. Because it's there, but so many times people aren't conscious of it. What would you do if you were fully aware? How many of you know Elisha never broke a sweat back there whenever that army came against him? The servant did, because all he could see was things seen. So he's tripping out. I mean, he's going, ah, and all that. But see, whenever Elisha saw into the other realm, he's as cool as a cucumber. He's like, no big deal.
Yeah, right.
But everybody else is looking at it going, we're done. We're dead. It's over. Did you write your will? I mean, you know, it's... But see, there's a source. Oh, my God. There's a source of things to make you a success and to protect you from the realm of God, that if you will tap into it, you will never be hurt. You'll never have an accident. You'll never be defeated another day of your life. Now, let me tell you about the way Jesus lived. Jesus lived out of the resources of that realm. That's the way he lived, out of the resources of that realm. The Bible said whenever he came up to it, see, he experienced all the attacks against him like you attack. He was tempted in all points like as you are. He experienced lack. He experienced attacks against his mind. Somebody said, really? Yeah, that's what happened in the temptation in the wilderness we were talking about on Sunday. Those were thoughts coming against his mind. You know, if thou be the Son of God. Those were attacks against his mind. He experienced it. He was tempted in all points like as we are. The difference with Jesus was he always had the answer. He experienced lack.
Yeah.
They needed tax money one day.
Right.
Well, what are we supposed to do? Peter said, what are we supposed to do? He said, go down to the lake. Well, where's he getting this? He's getting this out of the realm of the Spirit. Yeah. He's getting this out of God's talking to his heart and saying, now here's where your supply is. Yeah. There's a supply down there. Go down there and put the hook in, and the first fish you catch will be have a coin in his mouth. Now, there's a thought that came from another realm. I mean, you know, there's a lot of people that would like to have that be. But see, it don't work unless it comes out of the realm of God, because God knew where that fish, where that coin was. And while Peter was on the way down there, he commanded that fish to go down to the bottom and get that coin. Hallelujah. And then they're going across the ocean, the sea, it's the Sea of Galilee, in this boat, and there's a storm. Jesus is asleep in the back, and they woke him and said, we perish. And he said, peace, be still. Where'd that thought come from? Nobody had ever had that thought cross their mind all their born days.
Yes.
You know what I'm talking about? Nobody ever had that thought. But that thought came from another realm. That thought came from God. Because he was tapping into the anointing of the power of God and tapping into the authority that he had as a man on this earth in right standing with God.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And so how many of you know, really the way Jesus lived, Jesus demonstrated the way we're to live, tapping into another realm. He lived in this realm, but he tapped into the resources of the other realm in order to live successfully and completely overcome Satan every time Satan came against him. And completely live free from the flesh as well. Jesus never sinned once. Now, you and I have, but it is possible for us to live free from sin. Do you know it's totally possible? Now, I'm not saying I've done it, and you probably haven't done it either, right? You want to testify? We probably all sin. But the point is, we didn't have to ever.
Yes.
After we were born again, I'm talking about. We didn't have to ever. If we had to, God would be unjust to require us to repent.
Yeah.
Well, God, I couldn't help it. No, you could have helped it. So he asked us to repent, right? So what the point is, he's not unjust. We could have not done that.
Right, exactly.
Look at your neighbor and say, you and I didn't have to do what we did. But we did.
Amen.
Amen. Thank God for the blood of Jesus. Because it's gone now. Hallelujah.
Yes.
But the point I'm trying to make is Jesus lived completely free from sin, completely dominated the devil every time Satan came. The only way Satan could kill him was finally he laid his life down. That was because that's the will of God to redeem us. But if he had no yielded to that, Satan couldn't even have done that. He said, you don't have power. Remember Pilate, I believe it was? You don't have power to take my life. I could call 12 legions of angels right now. Where's that from? That's from another realm. That just makes me, I love to think about these things. And so the thing about Jesus was he demonstrated living in this natural realm from the resources of the unseen realm. But then whenever he went to the cross and died and then rose again, he became the door. The Bible says, Jesus said, I am the door. And then he said, by me, you get to the Father. No man comes unto the Father but by me. So Jesus lived in this realm, completely dominating this realm by the resources of God, by the realm of the Spirit. And then he became the door for us to go through that, to go beyond this natural realm into the realm of the Spirit and live from the resources of that realm as well. And then he sat down at the right hand of the Father, and he sent a royal invitation from the throne of God. He said, come boldly to the throne of grace. Where's that? Is it in Chicago? Los Angeles? Overseas? Where is it? I want to get to the throne of grace. Where is it? Can you give me directions to where it is? It's in the realm of the Spirit. Isn't that right? You understand? There is a literal throne of grace. He didn't say, come boldly to the nothingness that's in heaven. No, he said, to the throne of grace. Hallelujah. So come boldly to the throne of grace. Now, why? That you may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. In other words, that you might receive the resources of that realm, just like I lived out of the resources of that realm. Now I send you a royal invitation to come out of that realm and into this realm and live in the Spirit, it's called. The Bible says we live in the Spirit, we walk in the Spirit, we worship in the Spirit, we pray in the Spirit, we do a lot of things. That's not Old Testament lingo, that's New Testament lingo. Amen. The Old Testament people did what they did in the flesh. He danced before the Lord with all his might. Right. We worship God in the Spirit, by the power of his might.
Yes, amen.
We're doing it under an anointing out of that realm. And like we've seen many times here and people have had testimonies of, when they get into that anointing and they worship God in the Spirit, it breaks something in this natural realm and things start working that weren't working before. It happened for Paul and Silas in the jail in Philippi. They were in this natural realm beaten, but they got out of this realm and over into that realm by worshiping God. How many of you know if there's a way to get from this realm to that realm, there must be a launching pad. There must be things to help you get into that realm. Amen. Worship is one of them. Amen. Praying in tongues is another one. Amen. Reading and meditating on the Word is another one.
Amen.
Amen. There's things that you can do to help you get into that realm. And Paul and Silas utilized prayer and worshiping God. They prayed and they sang praises unto God. And what happened? What was in that realm was drawn into this realm, which was the anointing of the power of God, and it shook that jail and it broke off their bands.
Yes.
Now let me say something about what we were talking about on Sunday about the trial of your faith and along this line. How many of you know when you're going through something, there seems to be not only an attack against whatever area of your life you're being attacked in, but there seems to be an attack against your mind where your mind just tries to grab a hold of you and keep you from getting above your head and keep you in the mental realm. How am I going to fix it? How am I going to? And you're going through all these mental gymnastics trying to figure out, how am I going to get out of this problem? Well, guess what? You need to deal with the source of the problem, not just try to figure it out in this realm. That's the way Jesus lived, by the way.
Amen.
We're called to live and walk as he walked on this earth.
Amen.
He didn't live in a way that we can't live. We have to renew our mind to that. He's God's sample son. He's the one that whenever we see how he lived, that's the way we're to live.
Amen.
But what happens is Satan tries to, you ever notice? He tries to hold you, especially whenever there's an attack against you of some kind. He tries to hold you in this realm. That's what the trial of your faith is. He tries to hold you in sense knowledge. It's as if when you go through a test or a trial, let's take a financial attack. It's as if that financial attack reaches into you, into your brain almost, your mind, and locks your mind up with sense knowledge. What are you going to do? This is what the doctor, you know, in finances would be, what the bank says, and this is what this is, and then this is late, and this bill call is collector is calling, and all these things. And it tries to get a hold of your mind and lock it into sense knowledge.
Yes.
Lock you and hold you into what's seen. And what you feel.
Amen.
Come on now, I'm talking to you.
Yes.
I'm preaching something to you that it's gonna change your life.
Yes.
But what the trial of your faith is, Satan is coming to hold you in this realm. Because he knows if you can get above this realm,
right.
You've tapped into the very thing that'll destroy the yoke of bondage in your life.
Yes.
Hallelujah. I've seen this over and over again. Sometimes it is a good fight of faith to get past the scene and the things you feel.
Yes.
But you have to walk by what this here says is regardless of what you, and this is revelation knowledge right here. That's the realm you and I are called to live, where revelation knowledge dominates all our actions. Don't, here's something I want to encourage you about. Get to the place to where things that are seen aren't influencing your decisions whatsoever. Amen. Nothing. Nothing seen influences your decisions. Money or lack of it doesn't. What the devil says can't, you can do and what he says you can't do doesn't mean a thing. Only what is revealed to you by God, that's the only thing that means anything to you. Because the way Satan dominates people is by getting them controlled by what they see and what this realm tells them. That's how Satan limits people. He cannot control you unless he does it through your mind or your body. Through your sense knowledge, what you feel, what you see. How many of you know what I'm talking about? He can't control you unless you're controlled by that. But we don't live by that. We slip out of that, and we can live by the revelation that this here tells us. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. So faith taps into the resources of the unseen realm and makes use of it to the enhancement of life in this seen realm. It's called days of heaven on earth. It's called the abundant life. It's called supernatural living. Amen. How many of you want to live that way? Amen. Now, we are citizens of that realm according to Philippians 3:20. The Bible says our conversation, in the margin says citizenship, is in heaven. Amen. How many of you know that you might think you're a citizen of the United States, but that's only this physical man that's a citizen of the United States. The physical man is not what we're most interested in. Now, we have benefits by accepting our citizenship here, benefits of this nation. We can benefit from their economy. We can benefit from the road system. Isn't it nice? We think about road has potholes. Well, you ought to go overseas, you know. It's just, we were in Nigeria, and you haven't seen potholes till you've gone to Nigeria. You don't go more than usually 25 or 35 mile an hour because there's another pothole. You got to slow down and go around here. And it wasn't that, remember all that? Those of you who went? Well, we benefit from the tax system here. And, you know, you might have problems with it, but thank God for the roads it builds and the bridges it builds. And I believe it can be done better, you understand. But we're doing much better than a lot of places. I'd rather live here than anywhere else in the world. Amen. If I had a choice, that's not my choice. But so the point is, we're citizens, so we have the benefits of being a citizen here. Well, you're a citizen spirit. The spirit man's a citizen of heaven. Amen. The citizen of the realm of the spirit. So as a citizen, you have rights to that realm. Amen. You have rights in that realm, you might say. And so we need to be taking advantage of our benefits that come with the citizenship that we have of the realm of the spirit. So that being said, then we live in, for example, as a missionary. Take a missionary that goes overseas. They come from the United States. Let's say they're a missionary from. Let's say we send a missionary out from Spirit of Faith Family Church. They're a citizen of the United States, but let's say they go over to Africa and they start a church or they have crusades, or whatever, and they're living over there. But that is not the realm. That's not the land of their citizenship. That's just the land of their residency. You understand what I'm talking about? And what we need to recognize is, and I heard a story that helped me understand this one time. You've all heard of Patsy Caminiti. She said, of course, she's a citizen of the United States and her husband, but they went overseas. They started, they've been to a number of nations now, but especially they were talking about when they were in Italy. They lived in Italy for a long time. They have two girls now, and the girls grew up in Italy, pretty much grew up in Italy. And they said, what we want to do is we want to regularly bring the girls back to the United States and keep them in touch with their homeland. So that they don't become more acclimated to the land of their residence than they are the land of their citizenship. You understand? And how many of you know that's true about us? If we spend too much time in the realm of this natural realm, we're going to become more acclimated to this natural realm than we are of the realm of our citizenship. And so this realm's going to be controlling the way we sound when we talk. How many of you know if you grew up over in Italy, you're going to be talking Italian?
Yeah.
Well, see, people that live in this realm, they're talking what they see. It's called unbelief so many times. Now, I don't mean everything's unbelief. If you say there's a pole, well, that's unbelief. No, I'm not talking about that. You know what I'm talking about. When it contradicts this word right here, it's called unbelief. And so the Bible says in John chapter number 3, they that are from above, John 3, Jesus is talking. I think you might want to go there. I got too much to get to. I'm not going to get to it all. So let's just take time to go here.
Amen.
Hallelujah. John 3, Jesus is talking in verse... I'm sorry, John the Baptist is talking in verse 31 about Jesus. And he said this, It's true about Jesus, but because of what I just told you, it's true about us. Philippians 3, 20 says we're citizens of heaven. He that is come from above, verse 31, he that cometh from above is above all. Well, Jesus was the main, he was talking about Jesus, but how many of you know now we're citizens of heaven as well? Now, Christians today have a mindset, I'm going to go to heaven when I die, and that's true. But really, if you get your mind renewed, you'll realize I'm from heaven. Yeah. I'm not on my trip to heaven. I've come from a trip from heaven.
Amen.
I've been born from above.
Yes.
We got to get our mind to think that way.
Amen.
So, he that cometh from above, look at your neighbor and say, that's you. Look at your other neighbor and say, I thought you were from another planet. Now, those are the kind of snippets people take out of tapes and broadcast, say, oh, cult, you know. I'm just goofing. Don't bother. But let me alone, you know. Just let me alone. But he that cometh from above, he that cometh from above is above all. That means, the Amplified says, what does it say there? Superior or something. Superior. Hallelujah. He that is of the earth is earthly. And now notice what he does. He speaks of the earth. And he that cometh from heaven is above all. And what he has seen and heard, that's another realm he's seeing and hearing in. What he has seen and heard, that he testifieth, and no man receives his testimony. So what is he talking about? People that are walking in the Spirit, they say things sometimes that make the person that's naturally minded, dominated by this natural realm, that they go, what?
Yes.
You know, just get around your relatives for a while, and you'll find out what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
They're totally dominated by this realm. And somebody gets attacked in the family, and you're thinking, well, by Jesus' stripes, they were healed. And you say that, they're fine, they're doing fine.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh, you are so insensitive, you know. And you know what I'm talking
about? Yeah.
Because you got to watch it sometimes whenever you haven't been around people for a while.
Right. Yeah.
You ever been around the grocery store and somebody said, that scared me to death? You're like, whoa, what was that? I mean, you haven't said that for 20 years. Scared to death. I don't have death in my mouth.
Right. No
death and life are in the power of the tongue. I got life in my tongue. And so you got a different language.
Yeah. Yeah.
You're talking like they do where you come from.
Yeah.
You know, if somebody came in here tonight and they're from Alabama, they come, how y'all doing up? We know where they're from the way they talk. Because
yes.
They talk like they do where they come from.
Right.
Well, if somebody comes in here and says, I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't have this and I don't have that and all. We know they're talking about, they're talking like they do where they come from. Where they come from. The natural realm. That's where they're talking from. You understand what I'm talking about? So we live above it because he that is from above is above all. And so we talk, our words are above the natural realm. It's called in Romans chapter 4, chapter 4, verse 18 or 17, 16, or somewhere in there. It's called calling things that be not as though they are.
Yes.
You're not saying it because it doesn't exist anywhere. You're saying it's because it does exist in the realm of God. You're not calling things that be not in any realm as though they were. You're calling things that be not in this realm as though they were, because in that realm you already are that. If you call your body healed, you're just speaking of that realm where Jesus took your infirmities and bore your sicknesses.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. I preach myself happy already. Did you get anything out of the word tonight? Praise God. So we're citizens of that realm, and you have to be careful. You become more acclimated to the land of your residency than the land of your citizenship. Jesus lived in this realm, but he manifested the unseen realm. He learned carpentry from his earthly father, but he learned the supply of the Spirit and miracles by spending time with his spiritual father. And by the age of 12, now that's getting started young. I like that. By the age of 12, he's already fully aware of his, now this sounds funny, but I want to, you know, give you an explanation of what I mean. By the age of 12, he was already aware of his dual life.
Yes. Right.
I don't mean, you know, like a hidden secret life where nobody, I'm talking about the realm. He said, I must be about my father's business.
Right.
At the age of 12, he's already aware of his heavenly father.
Yes. Amen.
And he's already aware of his heavenly father's work.
Yes.
The business that he had to take care of on this earth. Well, he had learned carpentry, for the business of carpentry, from his, you know, who is called his natural father. And he could probably make good tables, or make good whatever he's doing. He probably did it real good. But he spent time with his heavenly father, and he found out his heavenly father had something for him to do also. And so he was aware of another realm.
Yes.
And he allowed that realm to dominate the seen realm, and he lived real successfully because of it. But then he went to the cross, and he became the door for us to go into that realm. It's the door between the two worlds, and we can live as he did from the supply, resources, and blessings of that unseen realm.
Amen.
Praise God. We in the seen realm can freely access all the benefits of the unseen realm, and the unseen realm can have access to the seen realm. Now remember, the Bible said in Hebrews chapter 10, it says, you know, we have boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Christ, a new and living way, which he has consecrated for us.
Amen.
We have a way. Jesus made the way to the Father.
Yes.
Really what he did was made a way to the realm of God and everything God has.
Yes.
He is that door. And then he sent the invitation for us to come. Come boldly to the throne of grace. Amen. And then after he sent that invitation, he sat down at the right hand of the Father God. And he is there now personally living in the seen, the unseen realm, and guaranteeing all the benefits of that unseen realm for us in this realm. Because the Bible says he is the guarantee. He is the, I'm trying to think of the King James. I got my mind on the definition. He's the surety of a better covenant. He's the guarantee, that means, of everything that's provided in that covenant from the realm of God. So it's a sure thing.
Yes.
It's not something, just because you can't see it doesn't mean it's not real.
Right.
It's more real and more sure than the air you're going to breathe, the next breath you're going to take.
Yes.
Hallelujah. So we can manifest the unseen realm in this seen realm. And Jesus lived that way, showing us that's the way to live. There are things that Jesus worked in this life, many things that he worked in this life, miracles and provision and healings and things that were not authored by this seen realm. They did not come out of this seen realm. And if you're going to live in just this seen realm, you're limited in life, hugely limited in life.
Yes.
You'll never get above what this seen realm can provide. But we want to live beyond that, don't you? I want to live way beyond that. So he could see into the unseen realm, not by necessarily discerning of spirits, although that happened, but he saw it by fellowshipping with his Father in the Word of God, which is the Old Testament at his time. And he demonstrated that unseen realm in this seen realm, applying it to the failures of the seen realm. Whenever sickness came, he applied the unseen realm to that realm.
Amen.
Hallelujah. So we are called to do the same thing. He always had the answer. He made that realm made the difference in so many situations in Jesus' life. And then he sent the Holy Ghost, a tutor from that realm, to tutor us in the realm of the Spirit. And if we follow the Holy Ghost, he'll teach us about that realm. And he'll tell us how to get into the throne of grace. He'll say, now here's how you come. You come with your heart. You don't come with your head. You got to slip out of the mental and reasoning. And you got to come with the longings of your heart. And he'll teach you about all that.
Amen.
There's a higher realm of teaching than mental teaching.
Yes.
It's called Holy Ghost taught.
Yes.
Taught by the Holy Ghost.
Yes.
That's the person that's going to live successfully from this realm of the Spirit. So if you and I will follow the tutor of the unseen realm, we'll become more proficient in manifesting the blessings of that realm that's unseen into this natural realm, and we'll live as a blessing to this natural realm, every person we come in contact with, and in our own personal lives, we'll have days of heaven on earth. Hallelujah. So life takes on entirely new meaning, a new dimension when we live out of that realm and in this realm of the Spirit.
Amen.
Now there are, for those men who live this way, life is predicated, success in life is predicated upon their acquaintance with and their ability to cooperate with the move of the Holy Ghost from that realm.
Amen.
Because if we don't respond to that realm, that realm can't go any further for us. Because it's faith that responds.
Yes.
How many of you know what I'm talking about?
Yes.
Praise God for the Word. Thank God for everything that's provided to us.
Yes.
This is called the realm of the Spirit.
Yes.
Let me just give you a few verses and we'll close down. I won't go to all these. Just write these down in your notes. John 4, 23 through 24. John 4, 23 through 34. It says God is a Spirit and we worship in the Spirit.
Yes.
And then Galatians 5:16 says we walk in the Spirit.
Amen.
Galatians 5:16, we walk in the Spirit. And then Philippians 3:3 also says we worship God in the Spirit and have no confidence in the flesh.
Yes.
And then Galatians 5:25 again says we walk and live in the Spirit. Galatians 5:25. And then 1 Corinthians 14:2, I love this one. He that speaks in an unknown tongue speaks not unto men but unto God. No man understands him, howbeit in the Spirit he speaks mysteries.
Amen.
Where is that? That's this realm of your spirit, because that's your spirit man is a part of that realm, the realm of God. But then you do that by the promptings of the Holy Spirit. Well, Pastor, I've been trying to get into the Spirit. Well, open up your mouth and start speaking in tongues.
Amen.
Well, I didn't see an angel choir or anything. That's not necessary to be in the Spirit.
Amen.
In the Spirit doesn't mean you're acting weird. Your eyes are rolled back in your head and you're... How many of you know whenever somebody lashes out at you and you just bless them, say, I love you.
Yeah.
You are in the Spirit.
Amen.
You're certainly not in the flesh.
That's right. Amen.
How many of you know what I'm talking about? As soon as they said that, your flesh went... But see, you decided to walk out of the love of God, which is shed abroad in your heart. So you're in the Spirit. Hallelujah. And then I like this last one, Ephesians 6:18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. In the Spirit. So there is a place called in the Spirit. This place, being in the Spirit, is not a way you do something. Well, if you pray in the Spirit, then you do it this way. No, in the Spirit is not a way you do something. In the Spirit is a place you do it. It's a literal place. We're blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you. There's places in the realm of the Spirit. It's just like this realm without the curse. But there are places, there are resources, there are rooms. You know, certain people in certain ministries, whenever they minister under that anointing on their life, they're ministering from a particular room of the Spirit.
Amen.
They go there to minister from.
Right.
And the reason that you or I can't minister that way, unless God calls us to do that, but the reason you and I can't do it that way is because we don't have the code to be able to walk up there.
Amen.
And go through that door.
Right.
That's not a realm, that's not a room we're allowed in.
Right.
But we do have a place, because he's prepared a place for all of us.
Yes.
It's called in Christ. All of us are in Christ.
Yes.
And we all have access to Christ, but there's certain realms of ministry we don't all have access to. Amen. Well, so we want to function from our place in Christ, and that's where we do it with the resources of heaven. So I want you to decide you're not going to be an occasional visitor to that realm of the Spirit. You're going to live there.
Amen.
You're going to spend, the Bible doesn't say to get into the Spirit per se. It says we walk in the Spirit, we live in the Spirit. So let's be a permanent resident of that realm.
Yeah.
Amen. Let's go to that place and let's live from that place. You should pray. Now you just write this down, Revelation 1:10. John on the Isle of Patmos said, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and in that realm he saw and he heard. He saw and he heard. And then he had words of wisdom, words of knowledge and revelation, discerning of spirits. Things started happening. But he was in the Spirit. Well, what I want you to see is there in Revelation 1:10, he said, when I was in the Spirit, the first thing he said was, I was more conscious of spiritual things in that moment than I am of natural things. So that's one way you can tell how in the Spirit you are. How aware are you of spiritual things? Now, you don't have to have discerning of spirits to see an angel.
Right.
To know that they're active and that they're working on your behalf.
Amen.
And you don't have to see in order to benefit from their ministry.
Right.
I'm talking about see with the discerning of spirits manifestation. You just simply have to see it in the Word. Oh, he gives his angels charge over me to keep me in all of my ways, lest I dash my foot against a stone. Oh, okay. So the Bible says their ministering spirits sent to minister for them who are heirs of salvation. So one of their ministry is to protect me. And okay, so that realm's, they're protecting me. So I claim that right now by faith.
Amen.
I don't see it with my physical eyes, but I see it in the Word, and my eyes and my heart have been enlightened. And so I'm going to benefit from those angelic ministries.
Amen.
and I'm going to go on this vacation this summer, and I'm going to be protected. I'm going to go all the way to the other side. I'm going to come back. I'm not going to have any plane crashes. Not going to have. And you can just put them by your words, because you begin to talk about things that are not seen. So that's how you can tell how in the spirit you are, because you're more talking more about that realm than you are of this realm. Amen. And if you, before you take off, you're getting ready to take off tomorrow for vacation, and you turn on the news tonight and there was a big plane crash, you say, well, that wasn't me. That was that plane. I'm in the spirit. I'm going to say the angels of God are protecting me. Because you're not living in this realm. Now, if in that realm of the spirit, before you go, you have a check, don't go. Well, see, and then you don't get on a plane. That's not fear. That's called living out of the realm of the resources of that realm. That knowledge came out of that realm, God's side of that realm, and not fear. Amen? So we walk by that, and we don't live by the things that we see. So we want to live from that realm and become more conscious of that realm and talk from that realm. Because as we talk from that realm will become more real to us. And that realm is put in motion because faith is what taps into the resources of that realm.
If you would like more information about Pastor Jay Eberly's ministry, please visit us on the web at soffc.org or call us at 319-366-2147, or you can write us at Spirit of Faith Family Church, Post Office Box 8355, Cedar Rapids, Iowa, 52408. And remember, God loves you, and you're equipped to live victoriously in every area of life.